This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How self-awareness shifts when you become responsible for other people's well-being. What changes in you when someone else's performance becomes your problem? In short, self-awareness in leadership is not the same skill as personal self-awareness. When you become responsible for others, your emotional habits stop being private. They become environmental. What you fail to see in yourself is no longer just your problem. Your mood sets the emotional temperature of your entire team. Blind spots that only hurt you before now hurt the people you're accountable for. The early warning signs are subtle, and most leaders miss them entirely. Definition: self-awareness in leadership is the ongoing practice of understanding how your internal states, habits, and reactions affect the people you're responsible for. It extends beyond personal insight to include a clear, honest reading of your impact on those around you. There is a moment many leaders remember, though few name it clearly. Everything felt fine. You thought you knew yourself well enough. You'd worked hard, built reasonable habits, earned a degree of self-knowledge. Then someone in your charge quietly shut down, or a team meeting went sideways in a way you could not explain, and you realized later that you were the cause. Self-awareness in leadership is not a simple upgrade from the personal version. It is a different discipline entirely. The problem is that the transition is slow, and the early warning signs look like other things: a quiet team, a polite culture, smooth meetings. Most people do not discover the gap until something breaks. What the shift actually demands of you. When you were responsible only for yourself, your blind spots had a limited radius. You might have been unaware of your own anxiety before a difficult conversation, or your tendency to go cold when you felt criticized. Those habits affected your relationships, but they did not set the conditions for an entire group of people. Leadership changes that radius completely. Your emotional state is no longer just yours. It becomes environmental. The way you enter a room, the tone you carry into a performance conversation, the speed at which you respond to a mistake, all of it reaches the people around you before you have said a single word. Understanding this is the first thing a new leader must genuinely absorb, not as theory, but as a lived reality. Until you feel the weight of it, self-awareness stays a private practice where it needs to become a relational one. Warning signs that your self-awareness has not caught up. These are not character flaws. They are transitions in progress, natural gaps that appear when the demands of your role outpace the internal work you have done. Recognize them early and you can address them. Miss them and they calcify. 1. You talk more in tense situations instead of less. What it looks like when a team member pushes back or a meeting gets uncomfortable, you fill the space with explanation. You repeat to yourself. You keep going until the other person appears to agree. Why it happens. Anxiety drives verbal behavior. When you feel the ground shift, talking feels like control. The problem is that your team learns to give you the nod just to end the discomfort. Why it matters. You lose access to honest information. Silence stops meaning agreement and starts meaning appeasement. What to do. Before your next difficult conversation, set a rule for yourself: speak, then wait through the silence. Count to 10 inside your head if you need to. The discomfort you feel in that pause is exactly the signal worth paying attention to. Eamon's note. I did this for years. I called it thorough explanation. My team called it not being able to get a word in. 2. You assume your intent cancels your impact. What it looks like. You said something sharp under pressure, or made a joke that landed wrong, and your response was, that is not what I meant. You move on. The other person does not. Why it happens. We monitor our intentions closely and our effects loosely. Intent is internal and accessible. Impact is external and requires feedback, which leaders often stop receiving honestly. Why it matters. Your team does not experience your intentions. They experience your words, your tone, and your timing. The gap between what you meant and what they felt is the gap that erodes trust. What to do. After any exchange that felt bumpy, ask a simple question. How did that land for you? Ask it genuinely and stay quiet when they answer. This is closely connected to building psychological safety on your team. Eamon's note. Intent is your starting point. Impact is the only thing that counts. 3. You read stillness as satisfaction. What it looks like. Your team is calm. Meetings run smoothly. No one complains. You interpret this as evidence that things are going well. Why it happens. Leaders are rewarded early in their careers for reducing friction, so calm environments feel like success. But a team that has learned it is not safe to surface problems will also look calm. Why it matters? You are governing without data. The issues do not disappear, they go underground. What to do? Start one-to-one conversations with a specific question. What is something you have been hesitant to raise with me? If the answer is always nothing, that is itself a data point worth examining. Eamon's note. The quietest teams I ever led were often the most troubled. I thought I was doing well. I was just not hearing things. 4. Your stress response becomes the team's stress response. What it looks like. Deadlines approach and you become clipped. Your replies get shorter. People around you mirror the tension and productivity drops. You notice the drop, but attribute it to the deadline, not to yourself. Why it happens. Emotional contagion is real and fast. You set the emotional temperature of your environment. When you are dysregulated, the people around you absorb it without necessarily knowing why. If you want to understand what happens when a team loses its footing collectively, look at the science of amygdala hijack in team settings. Why it matters. You are not just a person under pressure. You are a climate system. What you radiate, your team breathes. What to do? Build a 10-minute pre-meeting practice when you are in a high-pressure period. Slow your breathing deliberately. Step outside for 2 minutes before entering a team space. Your nervous system regulates faster than you think, and the effect on those around you is measurable. Eamon's note. The hardest lesson of leadership, your bad day, is not just yours anymore. 5. You only seek feedback from people who admire you. What it looks like. You have people you trust and people you manage around. The people you trust tend to agree with you. You tell yourself this means you're getting honest input. Why it happens. The brain seeks confirmation naturally. Challenge feels like threat. Over time, you quietly stop asking the people who are most likely to see your actual blind spots. Why it matters. The person you most need to hear from is often the one whose feedback makes you defensive. That defensiveness is the signal, not the noise. Understanding why some people are more open to challenge links directly to how the confidence-competence loop affects feedback quality. What to do? Identify one person on your team whose perspective you have been discounting. Ask them one question this week and listen without formulating your response while they speak. Eamon's note. The people I learned the most from were rarely the ones who liked me. 6. You mistake decisiveness for self-possession. What it looks like. You make quick calls, project confidence, and rarely show uncertainty. You consider this strength. Your team considers it inaccessibility. Why it happens. Leadership culture rewards visible confidence. Many people confuse speed with clarity and presence with composure. Real self-awareness includes knowing when you do not know and saying so. Why it matters. A leader who never shows uncertainty trains their team not to surface theirs. The result is a group that moves fast in the wrong direction without anyone saying so. What to do? In your next team meeting, name one thing you're genuinely unsure about and ask for input. Watch what changes in the room. This connects how leaders build synergy through honest exchange, something covered in why some teams build synergy faster than others. Eamon's note. The bravest thing I ever did in a leadership role was say I got that wrong. 7. You respond to feedback about your behavior with explanations of your motivation. What it looks like. Someone tells you that you interrupted them in a meeting. You respond by explaining that you were trying to move things forward, that you meant no disrespect, that you are under a great deal of pressure. The conversation ends without any acknowledgement of their experience. Why it happens. This is the most counterintuitive sign on this list. It does not feel like a failure of self-awareness. It feels like self-defense, which is a different thing. But leaders who consistently explain their way out of feedback are using self-knowledge to deflect rather than to learn. Managing the urge to defend connect to the work of staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction. Why it matters. You're teaching your team that giving you feedback is costly and pointless. Over time, they stop. What to do? The next time someone tells you how something landed, try 3 words before anything else. Thank you. Tell me more. Hold the explanation until you have fully heard them. Eamon's note. Explaining your way out of feedback is one of the most sophisticated ways to avoid growing. The root that produces most of these signs. Underneath these 7 signs is a single shift that too many leaders miss. Before you led others, self-awareness was primarily introspective. You turned inward to understand yourself. That remains necessary. But leading other people adds a second requirement, relational self-awareness, the ability to track what you're producing in the people around you in real time. Most leaders never explicitly make this transition. They continue practicing self-awareness as a private, inward discipline while the damage accumulates outward. The introspective work does not go away, but it has to be paired with a genuine curiosity about your effect on others, gathered through honest questions, attentive listening, and the courage to hear what you would rather not. Understanding how the confidence-competence loop affects leadership tension gives you one clear window into this dynamic. A quick diagnostic you can use today. Read each statement and mark it honestly. Yes or no, no half marks. People on my team really disagree with me in group settings. When I receive critical feedback, my first response is to explain my intentions. I have not asked a direct report, what do I do that makes you work harder? In the last 3 months, I find it harder to stay calm during high-pressure periods, and I can see it affecting my team. I cannot name the person on my team most likely to tell me an uncomfortable truth. When meetings go well, I assume it is because things genuinely are going well. I've never said I got that wrong in front of my team. Scoring 0 to 1 yes. Your self-awareness is actively working at the relational level. The challenge now is staying sharp. 2 to 3 yes. You have real gaps. They are manageable, but they need deliberate attention now. 4 to 5 yes. Your blind spots are likely affecting your team in ways you cannot currently see. A specific conversation is overdue. 6 to 7 yes. The gap is significant. Start with one honest one-to-one conversation this week and treat the answer as data, not threat. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to start? Pick one person on your team who has gone quiet over the last few months. Request 15 minutes, just the two of you, away from a project agenda. Ask them one question. What is one thing I could do differently that would make your work better? Then listen. Do not explain. Do not qualify. Just hear it. That conversation will teach you more about your current self-awareness gaps than any amount of private reflection. Self-awareness in leadership is, at its core, a relational practice. It is built through honest exchanges, not just honest thoughts. You can deepen the conversational side of this work with the tools and how to make synergy conversations less terrifying. The gap between the leader you believe yourself to be and the leader your team actually experiences, that is the space where self-awareness and leadership does its most important work. Closing that gap is not a one-time task. It is the practice of the whole career. Frequently asked questions. What is self-awareness in leadership? Self-awareness in leadership means understanding how your emotions, habits, and reactions affect the people you're responsible for. It goes beyond knowing your own strengths. It requires recognizing how you land on others and adjusting your behavior based on that understanding. How does self-awareness change when you manage a team? When you lead others, self-awareness expands from tracking your own feelings to tracking your impact on those feelings. Your mood sets the emotional temperature of the room. A blind spot that only affected you before now affects every person you're responsible for. What are the signs of poor self-awareness in a leader? Common signs include talking more than listening in tense situations, assuming silence means agreement, reacting defensively to feedback, and confusing your intent with your actual impact. Many leaders display these signs without realizing it, because no one feels safe telling them. Why is self-awareness so hard to maintain in a leadership role? Leadership creates constant pressure and cognitive load, which narrows your inner attention. You become so focused on results and problems outside you that you stop monitoring what is happening inside you. The irony is that pressure is exactly when self-awareness matters most. How can a leader improve their self-awareness quickly? Start by asking one trusted person a single honest question: what do I do that makes your work harder? Sit with the answer without defending yourself. That one conversation will teach you more than months of self-reflection alone, because it introduces external data into your internal picture. What is the difference between self-awareness and self-criticism in leadership? Self-awareness is observational. It notices patterns without judging them as moral failures. Self-criticism is reactive and usually circular. Leaders who confuse the two often oscillate between arrogance and shame, which makes them harder to work with, not easier. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.